This morning we want to draw your attention to the 28th chapter of Isaiah, and especially to verse 20. We'll be looking at the most of the chapter, but in verse 20, Isaiah sums up the condition of those in Ephraim. And he said, "For the bed is shorter than a man can stretch himself on, and the coverings are narrower than he can wrap himself in." Have you ever tried to sleep on a short bed with narrow blankets? We had a bed in one of the hotels in Copenhagen. And the comfort of that they had on the bed just wasn't long enough. And if I'd pull it down over my feet to get my feet warm, then my shoulders would get cold. If I'd pull it up over my shoulders, then my feet would get cold. And all night long, I wrestled with that stupid comforter. Didn't get much rest that night, though I was tired. And of course, trying to sleep on an airplane, you get the idea of trying to sleep on a short bed. I mean, you wake up and you're miserable, you're aching, it's sore, you know, and it's just an awfully hard thing to sleep. In fact, it's impossible to really rest, to get a good rest on a short bed with narrow blankets. Now, this is what the prophet is saying about those of Ephraim. They're trying to rest in things that can never bring them rest. You see, the world today is really looking for contentment. It's looking for rest. It's looking for peace. But tragically, so often they look in places where they can never be found. It's like the drunk who was on his hands and knees under the streetlight, searching through the grass. And he was sort of crying and whimpering, and someone came along and said, "What's the matter?" And he said, "Oh, I lost my bus token." And so they got down to help him find it. He said he didn't have any money, just had the bus token, wanted to get home. And so they were down there on the ground helping him find a bus token. Pretty soon, two or three others came up and joined with the search, and they were all under the streetlight looking for this bus token. Finally, someone said, "Well, where in the world did you drop this thing?" He said, "Up the block a bit." And they said, "Well, why in the world are you looking for it here?" He said, "Well, the light is so much better." And actually, it is tragic that people are searching in places to find rest, to find contentment, in places and in things where rest and contentment can never be found. Now, Isaiah, at the beginning of the chapter, is pronouncing God's judgment that is coming upon Ephraim. "The woe unto Ephraim, the northern kingdom of Israel, because God's hand of judgment was about ready to fall." But the people were totally oblivious to the danger. Here, the heavy hand of judgment was just about ready to come down on them, and they're going on like, you know, like it's forever. They're going on totally oblivious to the dangers that they were under at that very moment. Totally oblivious to the fact that they were soon to be wiped out. And so here comes the prophet to them, and they're all in their own things, pursuing their own things. And the prophet begins to pronounce this woe of God upon Ephraim and the judgment that is going to come upon them. And they scorned the prophet of God. As Isaiah was warning them, their prophets and their priests said, "Oh, don't listen to that guy. Who is he going to teach knowledge? He ought to be teaching in preschool. He ought to be teaching babies. His teaching is so simple. There's just line upon line, precept upon precept, here a little, there a little. But the fellow doesn't have any degrees. He hasn't graduated from seminary. What does he know? And so they were actually making fun of the prophet of God and his teaching methods. They were too intelligent to give heed to what they considered a prophet of doom. And then they mockingly said, "Hey, leave us alone, man. We've made a covenant with death. We're in agreement. We've made an agreement with hell. Not going to get to us. We're all right. Leave us alone. We've got this covenant with death, this agreement with hell. We're going to get by." They're like the person who says, "Hey, you know, I want to go to hell. All my friends are there." And they mock at the idea that God is going to bring judgment against the sinner. Now here he is pronouncing the fact that God's judgment is hanging over their heads. But they say, "Not us, man. We've got a covenant with death. We've got an agreement with hell." But Isaiah said, "Your covenant will not stand. Your agreement with hell is going to be broken. For you see, your bed is shorter than what you can stretch yourself on. And your blankets are narrower than what you can wrap yourself in. You may make fun. You may go on living for pleasure. You may go on in your ways, but you're not going to find any rest because you've rejected the rest that God has made for you." Now, God's promised judgment did come. Within 3 years, these people were totally wiped out. The Assyrians came, destroyed their cities, carried them away captives, separated them, separated families, took part of the family to one area of the world, set them up there, broke them all up, divided them, and the land and the nation was wasted. God's judgment came, though they disregarded the warnings from God. That which the prophet was trying to avert happened, for their bed was too short to stretch themselves on. The blankets were too narrow to wrap themselves in. You see, they were trying to find security and rest in prosperity. The prophet makes note of the pride of Ephraim because of the fatness of their valleys. They were priding themselves in their material prosperity, in their agricultural successes. And they were taking great pride in the wealth that they had developed. But the prophet said of the wealth, "Hey, the bed is too short. The blankets are too narrow. You will never be able to rest in your wealth." There are people today who search for a place of contentment, satisfaction, and rest in wealth. Their entire lives, they are driving in order to gain enough so that they can be satisfied and settle back and just enjoy the fruit of their labors. But it's a funny thing. As they are seeking to gain more and more and more, they never seem to come to a place where they can rest in what they have gained. I have a friend, a personal friend, who is now amassed a personal wealth of well over $150 million. But he works 16 hours a day, 7 days a week, and he's had a series of heart attacks, and the doctors are warning him that if he doesn't slow down, he's going to just drop over one day dead. But he can't seem to slow down. Now, I'm sure that if I had $150 million, I could rest. I wouldn't be worried about gaining anymore. But he can't, you see. But it doesn't matter, you see, where you are in the scale, you never seem to be at the place where you can rest. Well, if we could just gain a little bit more, if we could just, you know, and your goals are always a little higher, but you try to find rest in prosperity and in the amassing of wealth, and there seems to be no place where you can just stop and say, this is it. Now, let's just rest. Let's just kick back. Let's just relax. The bed is just too short. The blankets are too narrow. The people of Ephraim were trying to rest in pleasure. Though judgment was hanging over their heads, the whole nation was filled with a pleasure mania. He speaks of their partying, their drunkenness and all, and just living for the sensual pleasures of their own flesh. And trying to find in pleasure a contentment, a satisfaction, a peace. There are many people today who are looking to pleasure, to find satisfaction and to find peace. But the interesting thing about using pleasure as a medium of peace or satisfaction is, again, there is no rest. You've always got to develop something new. Let's try something different. You know, it was very exciting 6 months ago when we first started out in it, but now it's getting old. Now we've mastered the techniques. Now it doesn't give us the same thrill or excitement anymore. So let's do it this way, or let's try this. And there's always something new, always something that people are, oh, the newest thing, the newest fad, the newest exciting adventure, you know, and it's one thing after another, after another, after another, as men are trying to find rest in pleasure, but the bed is too short and the blankets are too narrow, and there is no real rest in the pursuit of pleasure, but it's just a mad chase. Then there are those who, with Ephraim, were trying to find rest in their religion. Their prophets and their priests had said to them, oh, come on, don't listen to that fellow Isaiah. He's talking about judgment and doom. Just tell him we've got an agreement with hell. We've made a treaty with death. Not going to happen to us. We've heard these doom stories before. His preaching, line upon line, precept upon precept. Let him go back and teach the kindergartners. Let him go down and scare them, but he doesn't scare us with his message of judgment. And the prophets and the priests were encouraging the people to just rest in their religions. Just be religious. Just rest in your religion. There are a lot of people today are being encouraged to rest in religion. There are those who say that if you were baptized when you were an infant, you can just rest in that, you are saved. It doesn't matter how you're living now. It doesn't matter what you're doing now. Were you baptized when you were an infant? Then you were saved. Those that are trying to teach you to rest in an experience that you had when you were an infant are actually leading you to rest in a short bed with narrow blankets. You can't rest in some past experience that you had as an infant in your relationship with God and in your eternal salvation. It must rest on something more than infant baptism. There are those that would encourage you to rest in your charitable works. Just do your best. Be good. Do unto others as they would have them, you would have them to do unto you. As long as you keep the golden rule, as long as you're honest, as long as you're moral, as long as you're trying to do what's right, you can just rest in your good works. But God has already condemned our good works. God has declared that our works are like filthy rags in His sight. And so here I come up before God dressed in all my filthy rags. And I say, "How do you like my new suit, God?" And He said, "It stinks. Your righteousness is as filthy rags in His sight. And you cannot rest in your own works. The bed is too short." And so they seek to encourage a person to rest in some past emotional experience that you had. You raised your hand, you went forward, you were standing with the group in the front, and as you stood there, you actually began to cry. Oh, you had a heavy emotional experience. You felt something warm, you felt something comfortable, you felt something good. And you just stood there crying for a while, and it was just like you were washing your soul, and it felt so good. But what's happening now? That was 15 years. That was 20 years ago. What's going on in your life now? You see, past experiences, you can't really rest in them unless they have been translated into my present relationship. A past emotional experience that I may have had, weeping before God or whatever, if it hasn't brought about real changes in my life, if it isn't today transmitted into a vital relationship walking with God, then the past experience is no more than that, just a past experience that is meaningless. The bed is too short. You can't rest in just past experiences. Oh, there are those that tell you just rest in good thoughts. Just seek to become one with the positive forces within the universe. And just wish everyone good. And just think thoughts of kindness and love for everyone. Bless you. Bless you. You know. And that you can just rest in the fact that you're wishing well and wishing good to the whole universe. But you can't rest in that positive thinking. There's only one place that you can rest, and that's in the place that God has provided. In an active, living relationship with Jesus Christ. For everything else, the bed is too short. The blankets are too narrow. Now Isaiah declared to them that God has a rest. And this is the rest, God said, wherein I will cause my people to rest. Therefore, thus saith the Lord, verse 16, "Behold, I lay in Zion for a foundation of rest," actually, the place to rest, "a stone that is a tried stone." It's a precious cornerstone. It's a sure foundation. "And they that believe shall not make haste." That is, you're no longer going to be running around in a feverish activity trying to find satisfaction and peace. They who believe will no longer be caught up in that frenzy. They'll have rest and peace. And so God has provided a place of rest for us, and that place is in Jesus Christ. And We are told he who believes in him has ceased from his own labor and has entered into his rest. I am resting my case totally in Jesus Christ. My case for righteousness is not predicated upon works that I am doing, not upon religious experiences that I have had. I am resting completely in the finished work of Jesus Christ for my redemption. You see, God took care of my redemption. God paid the price for my redemption. The cross of Jesus Christ is where God purchased me. And thus, when Jesus cried, "It is finished," he was talking of God's redemptive work for man. And I am resting in that finished work of Jesus Christ upon the cross. And my hope is in nothing less than Jesus Christ and the righteousness that he has provided for me by believing in him and trusting in him. I dare not trust the sweetest frame, but wholly rest on Jesus' name. Now, we are told in Hebrews that we should be careful or beware lest God, having given us a promise of rest, that we should come short of it and not enter in. There are many people who are Christians, who are in church, who really aren't experiencing the rest of God. The peace of God. You look at them and they're still bound up in their feverish activities. You see them all nervous and upset because this program, into the program and into the pushing and this and that and another. And there is no real rest. They're still trying to do God's work. My righteousness is not my work, it's God's work. I'm resting in God's work in my life. I am righteous today before God because I believe in that finished work of Jesus Christ, and I'm resting in that. And my soul is at rest today, and how I thank God for that rest. You see, for years, I was a restless Christian. I was trying to do the good work bit. I was trying to do the work of God. I was all caught up in trying to do God's work. And I was wearing myself out trying to do God's work. And then one day God led me in his word to the work of Jesus Christ, the finished work of Jesus Christ. And I began to trust in that and believe in that and receive the righteousness which is of God through faith in Jesus Christ. And oh, what a glorious day that was for me. When I ceased from my own labors and entered into his rest, I found a bed that was big enough that I could just stretch out on it all I wanted. I could roll myself up in that blanket of his righteousness, and I had peace. Lord, it's your job. I'm your problem. You take care of it. For years as a pastor, I was restless as I was trying to build the church of Jesus Christ, scheming up every kind of program that you could possibly imagine, trying to conscript the people into activity, getting things rolling, getting things moving, and all the feverish activities that we had going with the people, you know, as we were trying to build the kingdom of God. And I was wearing myself out. And one day I saw in the scriptures where Jesus said, "I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it." And I thought, well, if he's going to build his church, then why am I wearing myself out by trying to build it? And I began to rest in his ability to build his church. I'm so glad I learned to trust thee, precious Jesus, Savior friend. I'm so glad that I learned to just rest in him and in his work for my righteousness, for the building of the church, for everything. Just to just rest in the Lord is so beautiful. And God has a place of rest for you. And if you find that you came here today and you feel all of this tension and all of this pressure because of this, and you're just caught up in all of these frenzy of activity, the bed's too short. The blankets are too narrow. You're not resting where God is resting, in the finished work of Jesus Christ. And he wants you to enter into his rest today. Jesus said, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. That's right. That's what he wants to give you today. But it comes by coming to him and just laying the whole thing down to him and saying, here I am, Lord. Plop. And just resting now in him to take your life and to shape it and to mold it into what he wants you to be. No longer driven by ambition, no longer driven by the desires of my own heart for what I want to achieve or attain, but Lord, whatever you want, whatever you have, I'm yours, I'm resting in you. Bring to pass your will in my life. And just enjoying then the Lord and enjoying the Lord's work in you. Shall we pray? Father, we just thank you for the rest that you have provided through Jesus Christ, that precious cornerstone, that sure foundation. We can just believe, and we don't have to hustle or make haste anymore. Oh Lord, give us ears to hear what the Spirit would say to his church this morning. In Jesus' name, amen. Shall we stand? Been trying to sleep on a short bed, narrow blankets, it's rough. You just don't rest very well. Your life tossing and turning. You find yourself sort of boiling this morning, churning going on inside, eating you up. God doesn't want you to live that way. God wants you to find that place of rest that he has provided in Jesus Christ, where you can just know that peace and contentment of believing and trusting in Jesus to do the work in your life. I would encourage you, if you're looking for that kind of a rest today, to go back to the prayer room and let the pastors pray with you. God has a place of rest for you today. God wants you to enter into his rest today. Cease from the strivings. Enter into his rest.